Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. Hey, do you think this is true? God loves the impossible. He loves impossible circumstances. He works to solve those things in such a way that only He can get the glory and the praise and the credit. I'd amen that. The primary reason He strips us of self-reliance is so that our lives will glorify Him. And when we depend solely on Him for all of our needs and wants and desires, then God is glorified. He is blessed. And still He seeks to eliminate any hint of human pride. The Apostle Paul was an immensely educated man, yet he knew his knowledge and ability were nothing in the eyes of God. If he accomplished anything, it was through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Philippians, he wrote, I know what it's like to get along with a humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In other words, you can have a lot, you can have a little bit of nothing. You can be in the gutter or you can be in the king's palace. In all those circumstances, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. What a tremendous message. How you doing? No matter what the situation you're facing today, God will be your help. When the odds are stacked against you, you run to Jesus today. Let Him be your strength and strong tower, Psalm 18. You'll be able to say with Paul, I can do it. I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me. What in the world is going on? Well, 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 it's going to be rootin' tootin' pootin' versus Sleepy Joe. The president and Russian President Vladimir Putin expected to meet for 4 or 5 hours today, according to senior White House officials, noting that nothing is off the table for an American president during the highly anticipated summit in Geneva. Officials said that the president is prepared for the summit with Putin, noting that he has reviewed issues, written materials, and has engaged with a wide variety of advisors. The meeting comes after Biden has participated in the G7 and the NATO summits with Democratic allies from around the world. That was a bust. I hope that Biden has plenty of things written on his hand so he'll remember. Oh, never mind. Well, meanwhile, the Russian Navy has been conducting military exercises about 300 to 500 miles west of Hawaii, prompting the U.S. on Sunday to scramble 3 F-22s to respond to long-range bombers. CBS News, citing U.S. defense officials, reported on Tuesday that the Russian bombers never entered the air defense identification zone. The report said Russian officials call the exercise its largest in the Pacific since the Cold War. So it goes something like this, a physician, and then there were 2 nurses, there was a professional athlete, a drug dealer, and a lawyer nodding off in court. Teenagers, specifically 14 and 15-year-olds, and there was a 7-year-old who got into a stash in his mama's purse. These are just some of the types of people Dr. Christopher Colwell, the chief emergency medicine doctor at Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital, has recently seen in the emergency room for medical issues related for the use of fentanyl. That's just in the last 2 weeks, said the doctor. It's really remarkable because it runs the entire spectrum. This thing is affecting all walks of life, all folks. It's hard to overstate how impactful it can be to anyone. It doesn't seem to care about race or background or gender or anything else. The doctor said an average of 10 to 15 people who've taken fentanyl are treated in the emergency room every day, sometimes more than that. And that's just one hospital in our city. This could be the new plague in America. Fentanyl. And this important note, all the news that is the news, this weekend in Columbus, Georgia, they arrested a 39-year-old man called Justin Tyron Roberts. Over the course of one day, Roberts shot 5 separate people in 2 different states. We know this because he said he did. He also said why he did it. In his confession, Roberts explained that throughout his life, specifically white males had taken much from him, so he decided to kill them. In one case, he walks up to a total stranger, a white man, as he was getting out of his car, shot him in the back. By any definition, these crimes were viciously motivated by race, hate crimes. They're not unique in America, not by a long shot. I have a friend, Ken Gibbett, in Columbus, Indiana, that reports on this every day. Dozens of attacks just like it every day. You could easily do an hour-long program just today, but that's every day. Does this story surprise you? Really? If you really believe the propaganda from the Democratic Party and the Black Lives Matter group, what they're telling you, that white males are intentionally destroying the world today, and you could be motivated to hurt someone, why wouldn't you? What's striking is how little attention that this man's shooting spree has received from the left-leaning loony media in America today. Imagine if those colors were reversed. Roberts would be leading every newscast on every channel, including cable. Needless to say, he's not. In fact, this could be the very last time you even hear about it. And on one level, that's just great with me. Some think when I keep saying the new America, a flood of evil, we're just picking at wounds and making a lot of negative noise. It's bigger than that, my friend. Some strange things happening in this country, and this ain't your grandma's America anymore. What do I mean? This is an important story. A North Korean defector spoke out on Monday about the encroaching dangers of progressivism, mark it down, on American college campuses, explaining the woke culture is eroding what makes America a beacon for the world, especially for those people who are not free in the world. Yeomi Park fled North Korea with her mom when she was 13 years old. Park fled sex slavery and traveled across the vast and dangerous Gobi Desert in search of freedom. Park eventually settled in South Korea, as many defectors from the North do, but came to the United States back in 2016 when she transferred to Columbia University in New York. Ms. Park said her experiencing study at the elite American university had many similarities to her life in North Korea. In fact, she said the problems began during orientation when she was scolded for admitting that she enjoys reading classic American literature, such as Jane Austen. I said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing. Then she said, did you know those writers had a colonial mindset? They were racist and bigots and subconsciously brainwashing you? That was the word that Park recalled. She explained that her education was designed to make students resent Western democracy and included blaming white men for civilization's problems. She also chided students for playing with fire, citing their love for socialism and communism and mock safe places and wanting to be identified by pronouns distinct from your biological sex. Oh, I like this woman. It felt like the regression of civilization. Even North Korea is not this nuts. And North Korea is pretty crazy, but not this crazy. See what I mean? He did it. He dismissed it. A federal judge in Texas dismissed a lawsuit by 117 hospital employees seeking to block their employer's COVID-19 mandate. But their attorney plans to take the case all the way to the Supreme Court. The employees of Houston Methodist Hospital argue they effectively are being, well, they're being forced, of course they are, to participate in a human drug trial because the COVID-19 vaccines are allowed only under emergency use authorization. The estimated completion date for the trials for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, for example, is January 31st, 2023. But the U.S. District Judge Lynn Hughes ruled over the weekend that firing employees for refusing to take the shot would not amount to any wrongful termination. What? Texas law protects employees only if he or she is fired for refusing to perform an illegal act. Hughes has insisted the hospital is not participating in a human trial for the vaccines. Some of America's children TV networks have gone gay. Did you know that? And they're losing their audience? Did you know that? Since July of 2017, Nickelodeon's viewership has dropped from 1.3 million, that was average viewers per week, to a June of 2021 average of 372,000. In only 4 years, Nickelodeon has dropped more than two-thirds of its audience. That is catastrophically bad for a cable channel. But with cable on the way out, maybe it's really not so bad anyway. The catch here is that it is, in fact, that bad, and perhaps even worse, simply because Nickelodeon seems to be a primary driving force behind new subscribers to Paramount. Nickelodeon's hard push to promote LGBT queer agendas to children is having a very negative impact on network ratings, as it should. Why would you want to do that? Oh, it's the New America, a flood of evil. Let's take a break, and then I want to talk about a Democrat. Oh, really? You like this? Right after this, important message. My friend, encourage you always to support Christian radio, just like this very station you're listening to now. It is hard to get by day, week by week. You get the idea. You can help, my friend. Sometimes there's fundraisers and Christian stations around the country, but there's a need every day. Expenses are high, income is low, and again, you get the idea. Would you pray about it and see how you can help this Christian radio station go another day? It would be a real blessing to them and probably a bigger blessing to you. Support Christian radio in your area. Well, this is a rarity. Let me speak positively about a Democrat. Sure. Harry Truman. He was a different kind of Democrat, a different kind of president. He probably made as many or more important decisions regarding this nation's history as any of the other presidents preceding him. However, a measure of his greatness may rest on what he did after he left the White House. The only asset he had when he died was the house he lived in, which is in Independence, Missouri. Been there. Just a little old house. His wife had inherited that house from her mother and father, and other than their years in the White House, they lived there their entire lives. When he retired from office in 1952, his income was a U.S. Army pension reported to have been around $13,500 a year, Congress noting that he was paying for his stamps and personally licking them, granting him an allowance and later a retroactive pension of $25,000 per year. After President Eisenhower was inaugurated, Harry and Bess drove home to Missouri by themselves, no Secret Service following. When offered corporate positions with large salaries, he declined, stating, "You don't want me. You want the office of the president. It belongs to the American people, and it's not for sale." Even later, on May the 6th of 1971, when Congress was preparing to award him the Medal of Honor on his 87th birthday, he refused it. He wouldn't accept it, writing, "I don't consider that I've done anything which should be reason for any kind of reward, congressional or otherwise." As president, he paid for all of his own travel expenses and food. Modern politicians have found a new level of success in cashing in on the presidency, resulting in untold wealth. Today, too many in Congress also have found a way to become quite wealthy while enjoying the fruits of their offices. Political offices are for sale. Good old Harry Truman was correct when he observed, "My choices in life were either to be a piano player in a whorehouse or a politician." And to tell you the truth, there's hardly any difference. We ought to have cloned him for telling it like it is and being frugal with our money. Harry Truman. Interesting. What else is happening? Going to be a little warm. Death Valley, California, the record holder for the highest air temperature ever recorded on Earth, is 134 degrees Fahrenheit. And it could come very close to that mark later this week as an extraordinary heat wave tightens its grip on the West, and that isn't the only location that will stamp new marks in the weather history books this heat surge, according to AccuWeather. Forecasters say this current heat wave won't just be remembered for its intensity, but its duration. Dozens of record highs have already fallen from California, Arizona, Montana, and Idaho, and more likely to tumble ahead of the weekend as temperatures remain well above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. A little hot out there. Dateline Aspen, Colorado. A mansion overlooking downtown Aspen is sold for nearly $73 million. The deal follows the sale last year of a $57 million home in nearby Vail, Colorado. So waste management in hockey must be very good because the buyer is Patrick Davigi, a retired Canadian professional hockey player turned entrepreneur. He's the president and CEO of Green for Life Environmental. It's a Canadian environmental service and waste management company. That is a pretty nice home in Aspen, Colorado. Who said that? July the 4th, 1776 was born One Nation Under God. 244 years later, it needs to be born again. You have something there. By the way, July the 3rd, that's a Saturday, we're going to be in Denver, Colorado, speaking for Southwest Radio Church, The New America, Flood of Evil, if you can join us. Saw this, the back of a semi, Jesus, it's better to know him before you meet him. Stop, drop, and roll doesn't work in hell. Here's one we better write down and think about. It is not the government's job to protect my health. It's the government's job to protect my rights. It's my job to protect my health. When you trade liberty for safety, you end up losing both. And I think I'm going to try this. Someone posted on Facebook that Irish Spring soap. I used to use that a lot. Get rid of flies. I guess some people have cut it up, put it out on the patio, and voila, no more flies. A lot of them dead on the ground. I wonder what that's all about. I'm willing to give it a try, right? So one of the men in the church bought me a new salt gun. You load this little thing with salt and shoot flies. What am I, a kid? Don't answer that. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Hello, world. You've arrived. News, information, comment, tons of opinion, and, well, all kinds of stuff here every day at this time. Thank you so much for being a part of this radio broadcast. We are thrilled you are telling others, and so many of you joining us on Facebook. You get good things from us. We get good things from you. It is a mutual program on Facebook. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. In so many ways, I hate Facebook. I think I have a love-hate relationship with this thing. Maybe if Trump gets his thing going or somebody else comes up with something really that works independently, we'll go that route. You pray for us. We'll pray for you as always. Be my friend for now on Facebook. Thank you very much. Are you excited about your Christian walk today? Can you be one of those saying, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood? There's so many things going on in the negative vein today. You know, it's not enough to dwell on the errors that we have made and seeking to avoid them in the days ahead. Asking God to help you go down a certain way is only half of the request you should be making for God, because He created you with a need to achieve. Are you? To work, to inspire, to dream, to strive toward those God-given goals. His purpose is to replace your former drives with a Christ-centered vitality and excitement for the things of God, the Bible, prayer, serving mankind, fellowshipping with other believers, and being in a good Bible-believing church. In 1 Timothy 6, it doesn't end with a no. It finishes with a resounding yes of your mission for the Lord. But you ought to flee these things, you, the man of God. You ought to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness. How you doing? You need to fight the good fight of faith today. You need to take hold of eternity to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, hopefully. That's 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. The verbs are the ones of action. That's what Christianity needs today, some action. God does not intend for you to just sit around, well, passively, going to church on Sunday, maybe even Wednesday night. That's what leads to feelings of discontent and worthlessness and burnout and purposeless and unfulfillment. No, my friend, God created you to experience the satisfaction of a deep and joyful relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. He's given you the Holy Spirit, who guides you in all truth and gives you His wisdom and His discernment. My goodness, what more could we ask for? It's through His power that you're able to shift your focus away from the temporal, worldly things onto the eternal. Colossians chapter 3. Read the first four verses there. Be careful, though, not to misunderstand what is meant to pursue eternal things. You can never earn or achieve a relationship with God by working hard enough. No, you can't. Salvation, the Bible says, is by faith alone. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Furthermore, the evidence of salvation is produced through the power of the Holy Spirit, thus the resulting traits of character are called the fruits of the Spirit. They're right there in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. You can't make yourself to be more Christ-like through working. I don't care how hard you do it. Growth happens naturally, and it's a reflection of what's going on in your heart. What difference do you think it would make in your life if you woke up this morning and you said to yourself, I am going to be Christ's ambassador today. I'm going to go out and be a part of His work for His kingdom today, right here where I live. God, what do you want me to do today? That's a pretty powerful mission statement. It's really the highest one there can ever be. And no earthly motivation has any weight or merit in comparison. You don't have to settle for less than the best today. Do you understand that the riches of your inheritance in Christ Jesus aren't just for the coming heaven? They're right here, for right now, today. True happiness isn't a myth or a condition reserved for the so-called spiritual elite. There is no such thing. It's for you today if you claim it. And finding it, it's not a mystery at all. It's a matter of an adjustment in perspective and life. Ask the Lord to implant His mission in your heart today, to excite you, invigorate your spirit with the wonder of His love. Every day, not just today. Wake up that way. You're going to see the love of God at work in your heart, and the satisfaction of this glorious task knows no equal this side of heaven. I mean, this is some exciting stuff here. We've been talking for days about the brokenness, and the Bible says there in Luke 4:18 that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, the brokenness that we're talking about. And that whole thing goes against what we're taught in our culture. We are taught to be self-confident, to make our plans, to set those goals, to refuse to move or budge from our purposes in life. Everything in our culture speaks to us in the same way that Moses' upbringing in Pharaoh's court spoke to him. God's school of growth for Moses is much different. In the desert, Moses had to learn to be God-reliant. Are you? I mean, to let God set the agenda for his life. Do you? And to do whatever God asked him to do in life. That was Moses. How about you? Jesus, of course, is the epitome of the reliance upon God. He said to his disciples, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, John 14. Jesus was living out God's divine plan. And that's what God desired for Moses. It's also what God desires for you. Someone once said a soul is converted in a moment of time. But to become a saint takes an entire lifetime. Conversion happens instantly. Maturity takes a lifetime. And don't forget it. And finally, someone sent me a picture. There's this guy and his dog sleeping in the driveway. The caption, "Relaxing after winning an argument with my wife." That's a good one. And I need to get one of these. It's a green frog. It's a toilet, but it's a green frog-shaped toilet. It says, "May I present to you the toadstool." I've had my say for another day. It's a Wednesday. Hey, we're halfway through. Thanks so much for being here every day at this time. I think I love you. God bless. Tell a friend about the broadcast. Be here again tomorrow. And until then, you have yourself a fantastic Wednesday.